My name is Haley Slifer. I'm here recording Lynn Anderson. We are in Virginia, and today is November 25th. So you're Philip's grandmother, and yes. Philip is one of my really good friends. Yeah. Now, I've always known you as Nutty, because that's what Philip calls you. So how did you become Nutty instead of Grandma?
When my daughter Kristen's first child was born, I knew that I didn't want to be called by any normal grandmother name, and so I didn't have a name for quite a while, and whenever she would come or I would keep her for the weekend, I would just tell people, I am nuts about this kid, you know, just nuts about her. And so one day Kristen said, why don't we just call you Nutty? I said, perfect.
So all of your grandkids call you Nutty?
Yes. Yeah, they all do.
That's so cute.
And my friends, you know, when coaching for the marathon training team, everybody knows me as Nutty. Very few people know me as Lynn. So.
Yeah, I know. When I told my parents that he called you Nutty, they were very confused. I'm like, why that was? I think I've asked Philip about it before, but he never gave me a very good answer.
I think that some people might see it as being disrespectful or something because you should have a normal grandmother name. Mm-hmm. And I never wanted that. So.
So, how long ago did Philip move in with you?
Gosh, Haley, three and a half years ago. Time flies.
I think he had just moved into
October of your sophomore year.
Yeah, I think because that's around. I think I started hanging out with him like December that year, and he had just moved in with you.
Yeah, I think it was the end of October, first of November, because that's when I met you all. You would walk to your house from school.
Yeah.
And hang out there.
I know that Philip had been like kind of jumping from friend to friend before he came to live with you. So did he come to you for help, or did you like find out that he wasn't living at home and come and take him in?
He asked to come during a very difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was part of that difficult time, knew that things were not good. And I would come and pick him up, come over here for dinner or, you know, just be with him. And he finally said, Nutty, may I come and stay with you and Granddad? I said, yes.
Mm-hmm. Was it difficult when you first had to start like setting rules for him, like treating him more like a mother instead of grandparents?
You know, Haley, I'm not sure. All I know is that I wanted to protect him and make him feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't whether I wanted to be a mother to him or a grandmother. I just wanted to provide him with a safe haven so that he could find himself again and feel comfortable.
I know that this is definitely a very safe place for him. I always feel really safe coming over here. I love being here and I love talking to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know that Philip had said a couple weeks ago, or maybe like a month ago, you had been sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed him being like very stressed out and worried at school, and I kept asking him what was wrong, and he wasn't telling me. And then he mentioned that you weren't feeling well, and he was really worried. And
Yeah.
I know he loves you a lot.
Thank you. The feeling is very mutual. Very mutual.
So what do you think is maybe the most difficult part of raising a teenager during your retirement years?
I think setting boundaries and trust and I think those, and knowing that no matter what mistake he makes, I'll always have his back. And I say I, his grandfather's part of this, mm-hmm. also. So we just, and wanting respect, you know, I think that's important also.
Is it difficult to, like, keep up with the speed of raising a teenager for you?
Keeping up with this what?
With, like, the speed, because it's been, you know, you had years off of taking care of a child, so has it been difficult to kind of get back into that?
Haley, I'm not sure. I think we moved into it comfortably. Was it difficult having a teenager around all the time? Yes, because, you know, we're used to a more quiet environment. But I think I've always missed having young people around. Mm-hmm. And when Tom and I got to know and love all of you all and saw what a cool bunch of kids that he was hanging out with, it was, you know, you just open up your house and say, come on in, you know? And you're sort of sad when they're not here because you see the smile on his face when his friends come over, you know, and share silly good times. That's what, when he'll grow up, I hope he'll look back and say that there was a comfortable place for my friends and I to just chill out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember the first time I came over here and you were like standing in the kitchen and ran up and hugged me and you were like, I love meeting Philip's friends.
And I do to this day. And I look forward, Haley, to the next phase when you go to college and you come home from school and get together. And then the next phase is you fall in love and, you know, for the right time and get engaged, and then the weddings that I'll get to come to. And I don't know, each step along the way with Phil's friends will be as important as now. Just watching how you guys progress from one stage in your life to the next.
Mm-hmm. You have, like, honestly done such an amazing job with taking care of Philip, because I remember when I first started hanging out with him, he had such, like, a negative mindset on life, mm-hmm. and he would talk about it all the time, and it made me sad, because, like, I love Philip, he's one of my best friends, and hearing him talk about life so negatively made me feel really bad, and that's changed so much now. He has such a, like, positive outlook on everything. Mm-hmm. He's a lot happier now, and it makes me really happy.
Good. I'm glad that you have seen a change in him, Haley, because I've seen it awful also. His confidence level is up, and yes, he doesn't see himself as the weird kid like he used to. Mm-hmm. I mean, he may always feel, you know, weird, because
we're all weird.
I mean, look who he lives with. But he's different. And he asked me one day, wasn't too long after he came to live with us, and he said, Nutty, what's the point? What's the point in being alive, and why are you even here? And I think he probably talked that way, you know, when you guys first knew him.
Yeah.
And I thought for the longest time, and I said, you know, Phil, I'm almost, you know, 74 years old, and I finally know my purpose. And he said, what's your purpose? And I said, God's kept me around because he needed me to take care of you. And and he got tears in his eyes, and he said, "You waited all these years to find your purpose?" And I said, "Yeah, a lot of people do. They don't find their purpose until later in life. So, you know, yes, it's all worth it. If I had given up years ago, then I wouldn't have had you. You know, I wouldn't have been able to help you straighten things out, figure it out, and move to where you are going to be one day." So,
yeah, he used to talk a lot about purpose. And I guess one thing I kind of liked that he would say regarding purpose was that he believes you create your own purpose. You aren't necessarily put here to live out your purpose, but you're put here to meet the people that give you purpose. Mm-hmm. You find your friends, you love your family, and that creates your own purpose.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of any other questions that I have, but I'm not sure I do.
Okay.
It was great talking to you. Thank you for the interview.